resources for Tuesday, May 1st, 2007, and open a public hearing on House Bill 5022, the Department of Environmental Quality, and House Bill 5023, the Department of Environmental Quality fee bills. We have a short period in terms of presentation left for the Department of Environmental Quality. We have two items left. Ms. Halleck, if you'd come forward with anyone that you would like to bring with you, and we'll try to finish this up in the next 15 minutes or so.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Stephanie Halleck, the Director of the Department of Environmental Quality, and with me is Lisa Pearson from the Department of Administrative Services. We did provide you one handout this morning in response to some questions that you had about the clean diesel discussion and an updated chart that the committee had requested. I'd be happy to answer questions on that, but I was not intending to discuss it today. We're going to move quickly to try and finish up. I know you have a lot to do. We're at tab H in the white binder, and these are the agency priority lists and the 10% cut list. The first items in this binder, the first 12 pages, are the program priority lists. And I was actually not going to discuss those first. I was going to go right to the general fund 10% cut list and then come back to these priority lists if you have some questions. So immediately following the big fold-out list on page 13 and 14 are the general fund 10% reductions.
Okay. And behind the yellow sheet.
Behind the yellow sheet, yes. Each of these is separated by yellow sheets. And then behind page 13 and 14, the following pages are the other fund 10% reduction lists. So I'm going to start on page 13 and just talk about page 13 and 14 first. You'll probably notice some similarities between the cuts on this 10% list and what we discussed during our presentation on the co-chair's cuts. However, our 10% list totals $3.9 million, and the co-chair's reductions to the governor's recommended budget total $5.7 million. Obviously, since we are trying to build back after the cuts we've taken over the last three biennia, we're concerned about taking any of the cuts that you see reflected here, as we discussed earlier in our presentation. But I will walk through these briefly in case you have any questions. The first one on the list is a proposed reduction of $1.5 million from the Clean Diesel Initiative in our co-chair. Should I stop?
Please, yeah, please
okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. In the discussion of the co-chair reductions, you'll recall that there was a proposal to reduce that by $1 million. The handout that I gave you today on the chart attached to it shows the impacts at the various levels of reductions. The logic for putting this first in our 10% reduction is a logic that you'll see throughout the things on this list, which is that this is a new program, and given the reductions we've had over the last three biennium, my priority for DEQ has been to retain funding for our core programs, and in submitting this list to cut funding from the proposed policy packages. That logic extends to the second item on the reduction list, which is a reduction of $803,000 from the water toxics monitoring package. You'll recall that the co-chair's proposal was to cut $818,000 from this package. Again, this is a new program activity, which I would cut before cutting into existing program work. Lori Onan talked yesterday about the impacts of this cut. If this reduction is taken, we would be able to add fewer staff to do this work, but we would not have to cut existing staff. The third reduction is $504,000 from the stormwater package. Stormwater is a core component of our water program, but since it has been so underfunded, it's almost like setting up a new activity. So the positions associated with this package would be new. We would not have to cut existing staff to take this reduction. This is the same level of cut as was proposed by the co-chairs. The next three reductions are from air quality packages we've described to you before. We also discussed impacts on the work, and a summary is provided on this cut list, so I'm not going to go into too much detail in the interest of time. For the Columbia Gorge Air Quality Protection Package, we would keep one existing staff person but not restore a position that was previously cut and is responsible for visibility monitoring. The co-chairs also cut the position. DEQ's cut is $221,000, and the co-chair's is $191,000. The next one on the list, I'm sorry, turning to page 14, is Air Quality Package 110, meeting the federal air standards. We would cut $492,000 and 2.5 FTE. This, as you had heard from Andy, would reduce our ability to help communities meet the new federal particulate standard. The co-chair's proposal was to cut the package by $1 million and 3.1 FTE. And then the final item on our general fund list is Air Quality Package 111, Air Toxics. We're proposing a $387,000 cut and 1.5 FTE. This would eliminate a monitoring site and community outreach in Portland. The co-chair's cut, as we discussed with you earlier, is $537,000 and 2.5 FTE. So that's the general fund 10% cut list. As I said, totals $3.9 million. And I can talk about the other fund cuts if you'd like. I've not intended to. These are basically would be cuts to our various fee-funded programs. And I can also spend a little bit of time on the program priority list, but I know you have a lot to do this morning, and this was your primary interest.
Is there anything that you might particularly want to highlight in terms of the other fund cuts?
Well, I will say that the total $12.5 million, which I don't think is shown on here, so that's pretty significant. I think that one of the things I would point out, you'll see a couple of items on here that propose the solid waste tipping fee as a source of reductions, and there is discussion in this body from time to time about whether or not the statute ought to be changed to allow that fee to be used to fund other program activities within the department. That's not particularly relevant to what we're trying to do here today, but it is a fee that does provide a fair amount of revenue, and that conversation comes up sometimes.
Ms. Halleck, I would imagine that conversation, once it came to fruition, might involve as much time as the conversation we're going to have at about 9 o'clock is involved.
Chairman, I would agree with that, and we could just move right on. That's probably the only thing I would point out on this list.
Okay. Why don't we go ahead on to efficiencies then?
Okay, that's just fine. I was not going to say a lot about that either. This tab I is includes a letter that we provided to the co-chairs that highlights some of the efficiencies that we are doing at DEQ and attaches an itemized report. You will see that many of those focus on trying to move more into this century and the electronic communication mode. I also talked with you yesterday about our interest, and we refer on the second page of the letter to the co-chairs to continuous process improvement, and one of the main interests we have at the department is getting into the so-called lean processes, Kaizen, Six Sigma, value stream mapping, and looking at some of our permitting and other process activities. So that's going to be a major focus of effort this coming biennium, in addition to improving our ability to communicate electronically and provide data electronically to more folks. And that would really be my primary emphasis on efficiencies.
As a general sort of estimate, remember we obviously last week had sort of the exploratory grant proposal that you're sending on that'll be at full sometime soon. How many grants are you managing within the agency at any one time?
Mr. Chairman, I'll have to find out for you.
Okay.
Most of our grants, I can tell you, are with the Environmental Protection Agency. And probably two-thirds of them are our basic program grants that we get on a regular basis from EPA to support our base programs. We do have a few others. The Environmental Information Exchange Network is a separate grant, the pollution prevention one that you talked about. But I would be happy to get you a more detailed list of that, of those grants.
We talked about an item before too, in terms of like your Title V permitting process and whether or not there would be technological improvements there in terms of the record keeping and the work that people have to do. How close do you think you are to providing your staff the tools that are necessary from a technological standpoint to make the most efficient use of their time?
Mr. Chairman, that's an excellent question. I would say we vary from program to program. In the water quality program, we have a lot of work to do to provide modern technology. The air quality program, we're in a little better shape. And again, it's not only technology. DEQ has a very good IT department, and we have a lot of good equipment and software. I think that that is one of the reasons we are so interested in looking at lean processing, because it's really figuring out how you use the tools most efficiently that you have. The part where we really have a lot of work to do broadly is in making our information available to the public and available to other entities so that you can just go online and find something. And I would say we're not tremendously close, but within a couple of biennia.
Is there anything else, Paul?
Mr. Chair, I would just point out that a lot of the things that Stephanie's talking about came out of the review of her agency management structure that was conducted over the interim, and I don't know if it's the interest of the committee maybe to get at least a copy of the executive summary of the report that was produced.
Okay. Happy to do that.
Okay.
It was a very thorough review of our administrative processes.
Can we stand at ease for just about 20 seconds? Can you check that I don't have a quorum outside the room?
I think they're all up on the House floor. They got a call.
Oh, they got a call. I hate it when presiding officers get anxious.
Just 1 second.
Okay. Just making sure.
Yeah, no problem. Committee in the hall.
Okay. Well, with that, since I have my House members all called to the floor, and I think the other two senators are often doing something else. I think that would. Is there anything you want to close your presentation on, or you don't have to?
I don't think so, Mr. Chair. I think I probably belabored the point sufficiently about the budget reductions we've had over the past three biennia, and I would just urge your support for the governor's recommended budget for DEQ.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. My understanding, Ms. Halleck, is that I think both I and the co-chairs and the committee recognize that we need to do some work between the co-chairs' budget and the governor's budget. So we'll probably be back in contact within a week, probably, and Paul and I can meet with you and see what additional might be possible.
That'd be great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. And with that, I'll close both of these public hearings. And I will recess the committee to a time specific, 9 a.m.
Yep. Yeah, I think the time got those.
The Subcommittee on Natural Resources for May 1st, 2007, approximately about 40 minutes ago. I am going to reopen the committee at this time, and I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 3540. Mr. Shetterly and Senator Pruszynski, will you come forward? And Susie, are you going to?
I'll walk through the fiscal line.
Okay. Okay. While you're coming forward, Ms. Jordan will go through the fiscal for the committee.
Thank you, Senator. Members of the committee, you have in front of you the fiscal for House Bill 3540. Basically, the fiscal gives you the information for what it would cost to refer this to the voters. The actual price of the amendments would be included in the Secretary of State's committee for costing out the actual bill itself. So the Secretary of State's office is projecting a total cost of $1.6 to $1.8 million general fund for a special election, and the cost of that would depend on whether there were other elections being held in the counties at the same time.
Whoever wants to start. We probably need an explanation of the bill, and we need an explanation of the amendments that are going to be offered.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'll just introduce it briefly and then ask Richard Whitman to give you the technical explanation of the bill. We'll try and do this in less time than we spent in the joint committee, which I think was about an hour to get through the bill first time we walked them through. You have before you two bills, and let me just explain what they are. House Bill 3546 is the bill that provides for an extension of time for the processing of ballot measure 37 claims. It provides for 540 days for claims brought in, filed on or after November 1st. Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Did we open?
We only opened it on 3540.
Okay. The context of this, of course, is then that is an extension of time. And I'm sorry, then we'll get to 3540 because 3540 is the bill that comes out of the Joint Committee while this extension of time is in place. That will provide for referral to the voters of substantive amendment of ballot measure 37. You have that bill before you in the engrossed version, and Mr. Whitman has, well, actually the committee has a number of amendments, most of them technical amendments, and I think what I would do is just turn it over to Richard Whitman to guide you through the walkthrough of House Bill 3540. That is the substantive amendment with the referral for ballot measure 37.
And Mr. Whitman, could you give us a brief explanation? Obviously, this committee is the fiscal committee, not the policy committee, but just give us an explanation.
Chip Devlin, members of the committee, for the record, Richard Whitman from the Oregon Department of Justice. As Director Shetterly mentioned, House Bill 3540 is the referral of a substantive rewrite of ballot measure 37 passed by the voters in 2004. Essentially, the main framework of the bill is that it would take Measure 37 claims, of which there are roughly 6,600, and take the approved and pending claims that have been submitted and divide them into three pathways that would be available to persons who have either an approved claim or a pending claim. The first pathway, which appears in Section 6 of the bill, would be the so-called express pathway. It would authorize between one and three dwellings on the property or home sites on the property for an individual with an approved or pending claim. Then in Section 7, there's a second pathway, which is the so-called conditional pathway. That authorizes between four and ten dwellings on the property. However, there are certain screens that are placed on whether or not an individual can go that way or not. If the property is high-value farmland, if the property is high-value forest land, or if the property is within what's defined as a groundwater restricted area, then the individual with that claim can only go through the express pathway and get one to three homes. Again, under the conditional path, it's four to ten homes. There is one additional requirement for claimants under that pathway, and that is they demonstrate an actual loss in value as a result of a land use regulation, and that loss of value is equal to or greater than the number of homes that they want to put on the property. And again, that's four to ten. That is the main, those are sort of the main two pathways in the bill. I mentioned a third. The bill also allows individual claimants with approved claims who have vested at common law their right to carry out that development to continue and proceed if they've gone far enough through the Measure 37 process. So that's the basic outline of substantive outline of the bill.
Leave it at that.
Okay.
Now, for the sake of respect of dissent, Representative Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move to table House Bill 3540.
Okay, it's been moved to table. That motion has been offered. The chair will not be supporting that motion. Can you call the roll? Is there any discussion?
Can't.
Not debatable. Okay, just checking on the committee. Will they call the roll?
Representative Klim.
No.
Representative Burley.
Yes.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
No.
Representative Finkelder?
No.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Avakian?
No.
Senator Devlin?
No. Motion failed. Will someone offer amendment number 11?
Senator, the House will hear a call.
So, we will...
Hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Okay. We will... We're still in work session. We're in recess. We will recess. We're still in work session on 35.
Lock the doors. I'd like to. Can we do a call of the committee?
You do back upstairs for a moment. First 2007 and reopen the work session on House Bill 3540. Amendment number 11. Will you give, Mr. Shetterly, will you give me a brief explanation?
For the record, Richard Whitman, Oregon Department of Justice, Chair Devlin. Dash 11 amendments are technical amendments to House Bill 3540 that address the definition of fair market value that will be used. This is at the recommendation of the appraisal board, and that correct a technical problem with the definition of high-value farmland.
Thank you. Do we have a motion on the Dash 11s?
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash A11s.
Do we have any discussion?
I want to just get one more thing on the record that we already talked about. This definition, though, to the layperson might sound like the property owner could just make it sort of a verbal arrangement with someone. This is what the appraiser uses, and this is standard and part of their practices, and not that the property owner can just go find somebody to tell them what they think their property is worth and have that count.
Chair Devlin, Representative Clem, this is the definition that appears in the Oregon Department of Transportation right-of-way manual. It's the standard definition that's used in condemnation cases. It also comes from Oregon Supreme Court case law. So it's a generally accepted definition. It requires an arm's-length transaction, which is why you have that strange language in there.
Okay, any additional discussion? Hearing none, will you call the roll?
Representative Clem?
Yes.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Dinkfelder?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Senator Avakian?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Brief explanation on Dash 12.
Chair Devlin, the Dash 12s amend the two parts of the bill in Section 4 and Section 12 to address farming and forest practices. The Section 4 amendment changes the exceptions in the bill so that farm and forest practices that are regulated for the primary purpose of protecting health and safety are accepted out of Measure 37, but not otherwise. In Section 12, which is the prospective part of the bill, the thresholds that have to be reached are there are no thresholds for farm and forest practices. They just have to show a loss in value.
Okay. Is there a motion on the Dash 12s?
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the Dash 12s.
Discussion. Okay. We will be at ease for a moment until Representative Nolan returns. You want to see him get it? Okay. It's been moved. The Dash 12s have been moved. Any additional discussion? Seeing none, will you please call the roll?
Representative Clem?
Yes.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Burley?
No.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Dinkfelder?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
No.
Senator Avakian?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Brief explanation on Dash 17.
Chair Devlin, the Dash 17s simply insert a cross-reference to House Bill 2083, which is a bill that will have the election provisions for the referral.
Okay. Motion on dash 17.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the dash A 17s.
Okay, any discussion? Hearing none, please call the roll.
We need Representative Nolan.
Okay.
You need a leash.
I need the sergeant of arms actually at the door. Okay.
Representative Klim.
Yes.
Representative Garrard.
No.
Representative Burley.
No.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Dingfelder.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
No.
Senator Vakian.
Aye.
Senator Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. Brief explanation on dash 22.
Chair Devlin, the dash 22s amend section 12, the prospective part of this bill, to provide that prospectively that the exceptions in the bill apply to any use, not just residential use of the property.
Is there a motion on the dash 22s?
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the A22s.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Do we have a discussion?
Yes.
It is, in my opinion, completely inappropriate for this committee to be considering these amendments without having more time to take a look at the amendments and their impact on this very complex bill.
I understand, Representative Brown. Any additional discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Klim.
Yes.
Representative Garrard.
No.
Representative Burley.
No.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Dingfelder.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
No.
Senator Vakian.
Aye.
Senator Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. Brief explanation on dash 23.
Chair Devlin, the dash A23 amendments amend the definitions in section 2 of the bill. And the particular definition at issue is the definition of land use regulation going forward. This definition includes certain city provisions, and it's intended that this be limited to property that is zoned for residential use, which is another defined term, and so the change is to cross-reference to another defined term in the bill, zoned for residential use.
Is there a motion?
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the dash A23s.
Okay. The 23s have been moved. Any additional discussion? Representative Brown.
Just to reiterate the same comment I made on the dash 22s, Mr. Chair.
I understand. Representative Brown. Please call the roll.
Representative Klim.
Yes.
Representative Garrard.
No.
Representative Burley.
No.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Greenfield.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
No.
Senator Vakian.
Aye.
Senator Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. Motion on the main bill as amended.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3540 to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation as adopted by the dash. Do you mean to read them all? As amended. I just did it, yeah.
Okay. It's been moved to forward the House Bill 3540 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Any comments? Representative Garrard and then Representative Nolan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. House Bill 3540 as amended, some 22 pages at last count, but I have to admit I've lost count now on how many pages there are, at a prospective cost to Oregon taxpayers of $1.6 to $1.8 million is 22 pages of complex legalese that neuters the intent and thwarts the will of Oregon voters who passed Measure 37. It eliminates all Measure 37 claims except a constricted number of single-family residential claims, cutting out all landowners who had industrial or commercial land claims. It focuses on compensation, then makes the process to qualify so expensive and complicated that few will be able to comply with the requirements and perfect their claims. And it removes from Oregon counties the right for local decision-making jurisdiction. This is not a good bill. Like its predecessor, Senate Bill 803, it's a land use unification bill that will unify both sides, those for and against Measure 37. They once again will be united in a move against this bill.
Thank you, Representative Garrard. Representative Nolan, and then Senator Lockham.
Mr. Chair, in order to help me evaluate the bill as it is amended, I would just like to ask a question of Mr. Schellenberg.
Mr. Schellenberg, will you please come forward and identify yourself for the record?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Don Schellenberg, representing the Oregon Farm Bureau.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Schellenberg. I appreciate it. You've had a chance to look at the bill in its entirety, and you've seen how it's been amended today. And I'm curious as to where your organization would stand on the bill as it's amended.
Chair, members of the committee, I have looked at the bill as it came out in gross. I have looked at the dash 11 and dash 12 amendments. I was out of the room actually when you did 13 through 22. So I don't know what they did, but it addresses many of our concerns in the Oregon Farm Bureau. Our major concern was the establishment of housing divisions, housing developments in the EFU zone. We had other concerns, and the dash 12s have addressed most of those concerns that we had. I would still like more time to look at the bill, but based on what I've seen thus far, I will be taking that to our board of directors, who will meet tomorrow, and they will make the final determination on what our position would be. At this point, I could say that I would recommend the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Lockin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate very much my colleague, Representative Garrard's comments on the record. I wanted to round out what I would consider the legislative intent behind these amendments in the bill from my perspective, which we haven't taken the vote yet, but I'm assuming will be the majority vote of this committee. I think the intent was very clear when the voters passed Measure 37 that they would have a fair and prompt process for making claims and seeing their claims through to some decision by the state or local jurisdictions. But the number of claims and the type of claims that have come in have been impossible for state and local jurisdictions to manage in that respect. And what this bill does is it attempts to give the voters of Oregon what they intended, which was a fairer and faster process for having those claims decided. I also want to say that I appreciate the very hard work Senator Posansky and Representative McPherson and the rest of their committee has put in coming to at least this first conclusion on the matter. That said, there are some other portions to the amendments that I do have significant trouble with. For time's sake, since we may lose our House members again, I will not itemize them for the record, but I do have significant concerns and look forward to continued discussions as the bill proceeds through the Capitol. And for the reason of those concerns, I will be giving a courtesy vote on the main bill today and certainly reserve the right, if it makes it to the Senate floor in its present form, that I may be a no vote.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would like to echo some of the comments that my good colleague, Senator Bakken, has said. I want to thank the hard work of all the committee members who have spent tireless evenings and many, many hours working on this. I do want to say that I actually am disappointed that we were not able to resolve this here in the legislature and that we are going to be spending a lot of taxpayer dollars to refer it out. I think that we had the opportunity to resolve it here. We could have resolved it and not have cost millions of dollars to refer it out. And I think that's a big disappointment for me. However, I will be a yes on this bill. I am disappointed with one of the amendments that I think does not set good policy for the state, and that's the dash 12s. But I will be giving it a vote. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Clinton.
I'm not totally familiar with the rules in terms of potential conflicts of interest. Have you do it in each committee and on the floor?
You're always best off doing it.
So I declare a potential conflict of interest. My wife is the president and a shareholder of a family farm corporation that dated back decades. The company itself goes back to 78, so it would be eligible for Measure 37 claims, though we did not file, nor do we intend to.
Issues. One is, thank you, Mr. Chair, is a similar conflict of interest as expressed by Representative Clem. Second question is, where is where is commercial or industrial? Is there an issue on commercial or industrial, and where is that in the bill, or is that in the bill?
Either Mr. Pruszynski or Mr. Shetterly, Senator Pruszynski or Shetterly, if you'd respond.
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, just to answer your question, it's fairly straightforward. The bill provides for residential claims only. Going forward, claims are also provided for farm and forest practices.
And residential,
yeah, in addition
just
to
residential.
Thank you. We have a motion on the floor to recommend to the full committee this bill, House Bill 3540, as amended with the due pass recommendation. We call the roll.
Representative Clem.
Yes.
Representative Garrard.
Yes.
Representative Burley.
No.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Dingfelder.
Aye.
Senator Nelson.
No.
Senator Avakian.
Aye.
Senator Devlin.
Aye. Motion passes. Senator Schrader will carry to the full committee. Senator Pruszynski and Senator Schrader will carry to the Senate floor. Representative McPherson will carry to the House floor. We'll close the work session on 3540. Open a work session on 3546. A brief explanation of 3546. Fiscal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. The fiscal impact is based on the Dash 7 amendments to the engrossed House bill. Department of Land Conservation and Development will incur an expense of $6.5 million. The governor's recommended budget includes $4.5, leaving a difference of $1.9, almost $2 million. The largest increase in cost there is the attorney general expenses. There's actually a reduction in personal services costs for the agency because of the ability to ramp down after the 360-day period of time is over. Department of Administrative Services costs would be $739,000, which is what is included in the governor's recommended budget. The Department of Administrative Services believes that they have sufficient funds to manage the workload within the resources included in the governor's recommended budget. And then the Department of Justice expenditures, you'll see on a table on page 3, they're projecting that their costs will be about $3.6 million. The governor's recommended budget includes $1.9 million. The difference is $1.6 million that would need to be added to their budget later. There is a difference in the amount of revenue that the Department of Justice would be collecting from primarily from the Department of Land Conservation and Development because of the way the rates are established by the Department of Justice. The Joint Committee on Ways and Means Public Safety Subcommittee will need to view the impact of those additional revenues on the overall rate if this measure passes. And as a result, the rates could be adjusted downward, reducing the revenue figure above and the expenses to the Department of Land Conservation and Development.
Thank you. We have a work session on 356 opened. 3546. 3546 opened. Brief explanation of the Dash 7.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In the interest of time, and I know you are pressed for time, again, Lane Shetterly, Director of the Department of Land Conservation and Development, for the record. The bill is straightforward in what it does. It extends the time for processing claims that came in from November 1st forward. Under Ballot Measure 37, they're provided to be processed within 180 days. Failing that, the government processing the claim is exposed to liability for damages, attorney fees, and costs. given the volume of claims that came in during the weeks immediately before the change in process last December, we received about 3,600 claims in the last 4 to 5 weeks before that date. This bill would extend the timeline for bills after November 1st. That is, again, about 3,600 claims. We, at this point, are able to process claims within the 180-day time frame up through May 11. Beginning after that date, we will be beyond 180 days. This is required to avoid exposure to the state for substantial liability for damages, between fees, and costs. We will process these at the average rate of 300 a month until we're done.
Motion on the dash 7.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of the dash 7, Stevens Bill 3546.
Okay, any discussion? Any objections to the dash 7? Representative Garrard?
Dash 7.
Okay. Representative Garrard objects to the dash 7. Motion passes. Can we have a motion on House Bill 3546 as amended to pass it on to the full committee with a due pass recommendation?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3546A as amended with a due pass recommendation to the full Ways and Means Committee.
Yep. It's been moved.
We're out of here.
To recommend to the full Ways and Means Committee 3546 with a due pass recommendation. We'll call the roll.
Representative Klim?
Yes.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Dingfelder?
Aye.
Senator Nelson?
Aye.
Senator Vakin?
Aye.
Senator Devlin?
Aye. Motion passes. Senator Schrader will carry to the full. Senator Prozanski and Senator Schrader will carry to the Senate floor. Representative McPherson will carry to the House floor. This work session is concluded. This committee's work is concluded for today. We are adjourned.
Okay. Thank you.